magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, October 3rd, 2017, marching right along into this new month. Already the third day. What's happening, Marian?
I have no idea what's happening. This is just downright scary.
Yeah.
It's almost Christmas.
I know Jason, during his message on Sunday, was talking about the fact that they were over at, I think, Lowe's or somewhere, and all the Christmas trees are out.
Oh,
and
my
so
word.
His children were already starting to talk about Christmas lists.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute, we haven't even gotten through Halloween, let alone Thanksgiving, to be already talking about Christmas. He goes, come away from those trees. Come
away
over
from
here.
Those trees. Yeah. That's funny.
So, yeah, that's happening. In fact, even in our display up at the front here.
I was going to say, who are we to talk?
Yeah, we're highlighting It's a Wonderful Life that's being held at the Myers Dinner Theater in Indiana. But I guess 'tis the season, and
yeah,
we can rejoice for that. And
you bet.
Another thing we're rejoicing about is the great turnout for the assembly this past Saturday. 300-plus people. We'll talk all about what happened and how God worked through that. And First Christian here at Lincoln Square and their
Very
grand
cool.
opening. We have a special guest in the studio that I think you'll formally introduce him through the article that you wrote.
Okay.
That's in this month's Prime Life Times in a number of locations throughout the area. So do you think we should read the story first and then introduce him, or welcome him into the Great News Radio Center? Hey, Eric. Pastor Eric.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being available. Pastor Eric's the senior pastor at the new church here at Lincoln Square. Not the new church. It's an existing church that served in the west end of Champaign for many years, First Christian in Champaign. And you have a unique calling here to start this new, what do you call it, a satellite location
mission?
Or a mission to the Urbana area?
Just a new location.
New
and
location.
So a lot of churches refer to it as a campus or a multi-site. So we're just calling it a location. So
so it's First Urbana or First Christian Urbana.
Yep.
Or First Urbana here.
All the above.
First Christian here in Urbana, All right, so you got to meet Eric, Pastor Eric, about a month or so back.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were talking about having him a part of our own Lincoln Square Times, a little publication that we've been putting together for all the tenants here. And then we thought, with the Prime Life Times, he'd be a great article to present. And you put that together, and I think that's what you're going to read, right?
It is.
Okay, what do we have here?
Okay, A Passion for People. I expected to find that Eric Friedman has a passion for Jesus, and I was right. Mm-hmm. What surprised me was his exceptional passion for people and community. Eric is the pastor of First Christian Church Urbana in Lincoln Square, and he says that First Urbana is not about pews and programs. He wants it to be known for transformed lives and betterment of the community. Eric is not interested in creating a place people are drawn to because of flashiness, but rather because of people who love them and each other. First Urbana opens this fall. Eric hails from California, originally from a desert town and later San Diego, and was pursuing a career in kinesiology when he decided to enter ministry. Eric is deeply committed to his wife and son, enjoys basketball, also sci-fi, home renovations, and woodworking. You can find him Saturdays in First Urbana's Farmers Market booth, where he'll most likely be making crafts with children at the market. First Urbana recently hosted an event, Generosity Feeds, at the end of September. Many community people and businesses packed thousands of meals for the children of Champaign County. Current statistics show 66% of children in Champaign County struggle with hunger. The food-laden tables were set up in the south corridor of Lincoln Square. If you're interested in the nationwide Generosity Feeds program, visit www.generosityfeeds.org. When asked what he would say to someone wondering what First Urbana is about, Eric replied that no matter your past, present, or future, who you are or what you've done, God loves you, cares about you, and wants a relationship with you. To me, the motto of Generosity Feeds also fits Eric. Live generously, love generously, give generously. Thank you, Eric, for all you are doing for Urbana, and thank you for your faith.
Woohoo! Did that capture the essence of who Eric is?
Absolutely. Well, as best you can, at least.
Yeah.
So
And that was close. That was done almost exactly 300 words. Isn't that what you have? You have 300 words.
It wasn't almost exactly. It was exactly
300. Yeah.
Every word needed.
Yeah, really.
Marianne had a lot more to say, actually. She was talking about how impressed she was through the interview, your enthusiasm, your heart and love for people, and says, how can I do this? Because the requirement with the Prime Life Times is 300 words, you know, right in there. And so I think we had to pull out a word or change something or two. Well, Eric, we welcome you to Lincoln Square Hair.
Thanks, and guess,
some of the listeners aren't even familiar with this story, or most probably are not. Originally, about a year and a half ago, I was looking at that very location, Brownfield, and we were within a day of signing that as being the new Great News Radio Center. Mm-hmm. And I remember meeting for the final details, almost the sign-off. And at the time, Wade, the mall manager, said, well, there's an interest in the way your lease agreement was going to be. You know, I would get bumped out of there because we were going to do one of these open lease agreements at a very affordable rate.
Yep.
And he said, you might want to look at other options. And I was like, Lord, I felt so strongly. Like, we used that location. We prayed in there. We had volunteer gatherings in there. We had a meet and greet in there. It just seemed like it was meant for us. And I remember leaving that day, well, Lord, did I not hear your voice? I was pretty certain that's where you're going to direct us. And it was neat how God used an individual here in the mall and redirected me to this location. I thought, wow, this wouldn't need much at all to jump right in and start using it. And it's right across from the food court. And it worked out perfect. And you guys are in the midst of remodeling. And I think within a month or two, we'll have it all. It's being transformed totally.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I
mean, walls and everything new and clean. Mm-hmm. And it's looking incredible. And then this past Saturday, the Singing Men, we sang at Curtis Orchard, but I zipped over here to get some things around, I don't know, 10:30 or 11:30. And I saw people leaving already. And it's like, yeah, there was 300 or so people here. It was a great success. And we're done early. So we'll work backwards. Tell us what happened Saturday.
Yeah,
and then we'll get into some of your calling and how you wound up here.
Cool. Yeah, so this past Saturday, our church brought in an organization called Generosity Feeds. And Generosity Feeds, their goal and their mission is to help just put an end to hunger in our nation. Mm-hmm. They're a nationwide organization that gathers businesses, people, and every single dollar goes to making prepackaged meals that then it's up to the community partners that bring them in to determine how they want to distribute those that food. So this past Saturday, we had over 300 people come and volunteer. Around 2 hours of their time, we packed over 10,000 meals in just over an hour. And so it was just one of those moments where there's just so much energy. It was so fun. But just being able to rally people around a common goal of just helping feed people in our own community who needed it.
Now, what do these meals look like? Because there was like beans and bags and assembly lines.
Yep.
In fact, on Thursday and Friday, I saw them tape the floors where the tables would go. And I think it was Friday night, I saw a number of staff loading boxes and getting everything set up. So when the volunteers showed up, I've done that with like the Urbana conferences where all the prep work makes everything flow well, and it looks like you had everything organized and set up.
Yeah, it's a well-oiled machine, that's for sure, but about 30 different tables and stations, and so we had about 10 people per table, and the food is some rice, some beans, some prepackaged spices and stuff to give it some taste, as well as a protein substitute. Mm-hmm. And so these food packages are quickly heated up, warmed, and they taste actually pretty good, and so that they're able to be stored easily and handed out just as easily. And so one of our big passions for this was to be able to put these food into the backpacks of kids who rely on the schools Monday through Friday for a lot of their meals. And so when that happens from Friday evening till Monday morning, oftentimes there may be a shortage for them. And so it was a great opportunity for us to bring people together and help meet a need that way.
Wow.
So you got it all assembled. Now, has the distribution taken place, or is that something that's going to go on in the days ahead?
Yeah, so it's a both-and answer for that. So we had 10,000 meals, and given the situation down in Texas with Hurricane Harvey, we opted to send 3,000 of our 10,000 meals down there in immediate relief and support. Mm-hmm. We just felt that that was necessary. But as we talked to our community partners, Jet's Pizza and the original Pancake House, we felt that that was going to to be a very positive step. Mm. But this whole idea was to help our own community as well, too. Mm. So we've got 7,000 meals ready at the disposal. We've probably got about 75% of those already ready to hand out to different organizations and places, but there's still a handful left that we're looking to distribute.
Hmm. Wow. Now, I'm curious, how did Jets and the original Pancake House, how did they play in here?
Yeah, this is a tip to the hat of our lead pastor, Danny Schaffner, who he's a networker above all networkers. He's really good at what he does, not just leading a church and preaching, but he truly cares for people. As we were kind of trying to find some other businesses to jump in on this, he made a few calls, set up a few meetings, and he just kind of walks in the room and pitched them this vision, this idea of being generous for our own community. And both of those places jumped in some pretty cool fashions for us to make this happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to go over and personally thank Eric at the original Pancake House.
That's right.
Good place to eat.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't hurt. Yeah. Grab some breakfast while you're there.
Yeah, all right.
Now, did you ever envision, as Marianne through her story and article read, that you were going to be a kinesiologist or a...
So, kinesiology.
Okay.
Yeah. Kinesiology.
out of my league here.
Kinesiology was kind of like a pre-med track for a physical therapist, essentially. So, that's kind of where I started thinking. I just kind of do that. Most of the people in my family are in the medical field. Mm-hmm. Doctors, nurses, pharmacists, that type of stuff. And so I was just kind of following suit. And so that's kind of where I initially set off.
But how did you get a calling or how did you know that you're going to head towards ministry? And was it a part of an early faith journey that you felt like, Lord, use me in the ministry or use me doing ministry in a vocation?
Yeah, it was none of the above, really. You know, I became a Christian probably about when I was 10, 11 years old after a situation in our family that I'm sure we'll probably talk about in a little bit. But grew up going to church and involved in my youth groups and stuff. But I went to college with no sense that God wanted me to enter to the ministry. And so it was about halfway through my freshman year. And the school I went to was a Christian university, but it wasn't like a Bible college where they prepared you for ministry per se. And one of the speakers was there just kind of giving a message at chapel one morning saying, have you ever really asked what God wants you to do for your life? One of those moments where you feel like he's talking directly to you.
Yeah.
And I remember going back to my dorm room and just saying, all right, God, like we've never had this conversation. So I guess we should at least have it. And I'm just hoping, praying, fingers crossed, like he doesn't change anything. And there was just this overwhelming sense of, I want you to leave this plan, this whole life that's basically laid out for you to make a lot of money and do what you want to do. And I want you to follow after the plan that I have. And it was kind of like, okay, well, what does that mean? And it was just this sense of, hey, I want you to go become a pastor. I didn't really know what that meant. And so I just started like Googling Bible colleges and stuff and found my way to Johnson University, which is a Bible college in Knoxville, Tennessee.
When did Diana come along? And was that something you were praying through or were you a believer at the time?
So, we were both believers. So we met at Johnson University, and it was my first year there, her freshman year as well. And we were actually playing dodgeball one night with just a group of friends.
Fun.
And I was trying to peg my friend because, you know, male egos, you don't want to get overshadowed. And so I turned and I hurled the ball as hard as I could.
Oh, no.
And he actually ducked out of the way, and it hit this girl straight in the face.
Oh. Gosh.
And so I felt kind of bad. I was like, I guess I'll go say sorry. Sorry, and then jump back in the game. So I went and introduced myself, and I was like, she's kind of cute. And ended up being who is now my wife, Diana. And the coolest part I loved about it was, like, she was probably more upset that she was out than actually she got hit in the face.
Oh, I love it.
And so had a little competitive spirit to herself.
Exactly. And that's probably one of the things I love about her most is that she's hyper-competitive as well as I am. So it keeps things moving forward. You know, board games get pretty heated in her house.
Right back at you, huh?
And stuff like that. Exactly. So it all sparked from there, I guess.
Oh.
Jude came along about 14 months ago. Was that a planned pregnancy where, Lord, you know, we'd love to have a family be blessed?
Yeah, it was almost too quick of a process, really. So my wife and I, we both finished graduate school. She's a elementary school teacher. She teaches third grade here in Urbana at Wiley Elementary School. And so we were just kind of, all right, well, I guess we could have a kid now. And so we just started trying, as they say. Yeah. And a month later, it was like, hey, you're pregnant. And so we're like,
trying.
Oh. Yeah, so we were like, all right, I guess we're going to do this thing. And so, about 14 months ago, our first son, Jude, came.
I love that name. name, by the way.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. Yep.
Now, did you have, as that faith journey began at a young age, mm-hmm. was it a pastor? Was it a family member? What was the crucial elements that
sure.
brought that conviction to say, okay, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior?
Yeah, the big turning point really was my father passed away from pancreatic cancer. So we had just moved from the desert to San Diego. About a couple months in, he was diagnosed, and he fought hard for about 6 months, and then he went away. And so kind of through that process, though, being a young boy, just kind of trying to figure out, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for my life? As well as my older sister and my mom, the three of us were kind of just struggling with, like, this is a not just a change, but this is a life-altering moment. And just through that, we had fellow followers of Christ who were our neighbors at the time. And it was kind of interesting. It kind of shows that their commitment to Christ, because this was a brand new neighborhood. Everybody had just moved in a year or less, so we didn't really know each other. There wasn't like there was these built-in relationships, but they kind of heard what had happened and just came by our side, provided meals, provided hugs, provided places for us to hang out outside of the house and that type of stuff. And just through those relationships, it was actually one of my best friends now, and from that moment forward, who kind of just I think he was probably 11 years old at the time. He grew up with his family going to church, just really strong believers, and he just said, hey, like, let me tell you about Jesus and his love for you, because that was my big thing. It wasn't even necessarily at the moment a concept of sin, but a concept of, I just don't feel loved at this time. And that's where it all came crashing down and got rebuilt in the love of Jesus.
And it's kind of interesting, because I think that's part of your heart and what you want to model in your church here.
Absolutely.
At Lincoln Square.
Yeah.
Is extending love and care and compassion to those, no matter their background or what situations they've fallen in. That we're going to reach out with them with the love of Jesus.
Yeah, that's the thing that I think at the end of the day, if our church and myself as a pastor can be known as the guy in the church that just loved people really well with no strings attached, I think we've done a pretty good job of sharing the gospel, because I think that's where a lot of people get turned off by the church. They get turned off about Jesus. They think it's about rules or he's going to judge us. And the, you know, there is judgment that's very real. Sin is very real. It's something that we all fall prey to, that there is eternal damnation, so to speak. But above all else, the love of Christ is stronger and surpasses all of that. And just so many people who are hurting and broken, people who've even walked away from the church, they've just missed that message that Jesus loves you with this reckless love, and there's nothing that you can do to change that.
Yeah.
And so we are essentially couriers of Jesus's love.
Brings tears to my eyes.
Now, if somebody wants to know more about the happenings at this church, it's going to be officially launched maybe in November.
Early November, yeah.
Still working that through, but you're here each Saturday during the farmer's market, which that's from what time do you usually set up, in case they want to know more or meet you in person or find out so they can be on a mailing list or aware of when the first service or the grand opening is?
Yeah, so the farmer's market goes from 7 a.m. to noon. We're usually there the whole time. Here in the next few weeks, we'll be in and out of the market as we just get prepared to launch our church. But if you come to the market and head into Lincoln Square, you'll be able to see our space. Probably the best way to stay up to date with us is FCC-online.org, which is our website, and then there's a tab there for First Urbana, and at the bottom of that page is a way to sign up for our email updates.
Okay, FCC-online.
Online.org.
Okay, got that down. And yeah, right here at Lincoln Square, in fact, right down the hallway from us, we're kind of in the, what we would say is the West Wing.
That's right.
They're in the East Wing near the fitness center down there.
Yeah.
And
So Sassy. And
yeah.
So Sassy.
Common Ground.
Yeah, common grounds.
Yeah.
Acupuncture, the art coop.
Yeah.
So we fit right in with everybody else.
Yeah.
So.
And you have similar passion and ministry focus as we do at Great News Radio's, utilizing this location right in the midst of the general public to infuse, if you will, or to allow the fragrance of Christ to touch and reach out. And we do have this unique opportunity, because there's so many people that just kind of walk through the mall,
absolutely,
the regular walkers that get exercise, and then those that work here. I've struck up a relationship with a number of people, as has Marianne, with writing all the various stories, but we just see this as a very unique opportunity. Jason described it once, there's destinations, like, you know, a church is a destination for where the Christians usually go.
Right.
But like a mall or a situation like this, it's the general public kind of walking in. And so we have this opportunity where they walk by, we can reach out and touch them or interact with them. And I know that's something that really gets you, what flips your switch, as they say, gets you excited because all these people are walking by and you stir up relationships. I think you've gotten to meet some of the maintenance guys and touch on them. It's a good bunch, and some of the other tenants here, I have a lot of interesting people that we've gotten to interact and love on.
It makes me feel kind of blessed to know that, I don't know, what was it, 2 years ago? Well, how was it? We were down there in that location that you guys are in now, praying it up. I feel like we kind of prayed it up for you.
That's right. You guys prepped it for us, and now we're gonna steal all of your prayers.
No, you're not. They just multiply like the fish and loaves.
We stirred a happening.
Right.
But it is a very unique location, and so if you haven't come by Lincoln Square for a while, a number of people have come in and says, I always thought it was the dead mall, and I'm seeing a lot of things going on. And some of the tenants here have said ever since we got here, it's been a new stirring. And there's a lot of ping pong players out there, and there's other activities. Mm-hmm. When we have our conversational English classes on Thursday, usually 70 or so internationals and about 20 teachers. And so we look forward to collaborating. And I know you're going to have like Sunday school classes in various locations here and really utilizing the mall for events as we are. And
you guys are going to bring it to life too.
We're hoping
up in this place.
A couple of the maintenance
everybody
guys,
look out.
Well, a couple of the maintenance guys, they're like, you know, that right next door to us there's a Christian church that I've interviewed that pastor before, and there's some other rumblings of some other things that are going on here. And your church down there, and they go, that's that big church that's on the west end of Champaign. And I say, yes, but this is their Urbana campus. And in our closing minute, as we should always be praying up the pastors in our area that are dividing God's word and teaching us and leading us and equipping us to be effective in our callings. What would you want our listeners to be praying specifically for you as you take on, you know, this ministry? And you're currently, you're preaching some on Sunday. How does it all work?
So currently right now my job is twofold. Is number one, to be recruiting and prepping our team for launch day, which is like we've been saying, just a couple weeks away, which is just crazy. And there's so much that goes into launching a church that you think it's just like, hey, let's get some people, open a Bible, and call it a day, which in a lot of respects, I'd be cool with that. But, you know, you got to order chairs, you got to pick colors, and all that type of stuff that I'm glad I've got an awesome team. My children's minister, Jackie Hull, and my worship pastor, Jared Prince, also have just been absolutely crushing it alongside of me. But a lot of it has been just a lot of those conversations. And so it's a good thing I'm an extrovert and I like talking with people. And so there's that aspect, and then kind of the ins and outs of the Champaign location as well. Even past Sunday, preached a sermon there, and so I'm on the preaching team there. So it's just keeping me busy.
All right. All God's people said, amen. Be praying up First Christian as they transition here at Lincoln Square, right down from the Great News Radio Center, and seeing how we can do God's work together in the days ahead.
So. I've got to say, to God be the glory.
Absolutely.
God be the glory. Great things He
is
doing through us. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Offenstein with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.